Love God, lift others. Love God, lift others. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest. From Abundant Church in El Paso, Texas, Pastor Cruz Ramirez.
Without saying, man, it goes without saying that I love your pastors. My wife, is here. We just hit 20 years of marriage on January 3rd. She's been my girlfriend for 25 years. Isn't that crazy? It's insane. She's been my wifey for 20 and my baby mama for 11. And so I'm just glad you're with me. But like I was saying, needless to say, we love your pastors. They're family to us. Pastor Sergio and Tina are just such an incredible place of refreshing and motivation and influence for us, and you're so blessed to have them. I know you love them, but can I just remind you, tell them you do all the time. Give them their flowers, man. They're incredible. They pray for you. They cry for you. We talk about y'all all the time, and it's mostly good. And so I'm just serious. And It's wonderful to be with you. What the Lord is doing at Elevate Life is remarkable. Go with me to Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. I want to talk to you a little bit about the thought of living life to the fullest. Living life to the fullest. I'm reading out of the Message paraphrase Eugene Peterson summarizes Paul's attempt to teach a young church so well in one scripture. The first five chapters of 1 Thessalonians, let me give you just a little bit of seminary, a little bit of background. The first five chapters, Paul is trying to teach a young church how to live. You know, it's a great thing when you encounter Jesus in a meeting like this, and many of us do, and you say, man, I've got new life, and I met the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm born again. And it's one thing, however, to be born again. It's another thing to be taught how to live again. And they go hand in hand. I'm born again, but we don't just be born again for eternal security. We be born again for earthly impact on a daily basis as children of God. Romans says it this way, that earth is groaning that the children of God, that the sons of God would take their place. You want to know why it hurts to be on earth right now? Because somewhere, somehow, the children of God have forgotten who they are, and they're not in their rightful place. And somehow, somewhere, politics, culture, society, all the above has marginalized and pushed the church of the living God into a corner and said, you just stay there, you just be quiet, don't make too much noise, do your outreaches, but don't talk about the supernatural Son of God. We don't need that. And the earth is hurting because the sons of God don't know how to live their life on the earth. And if we're not careful, we'll relegate this life that God has given us to one day I'm going to die and not go to hell. And that's good security to have. But what about in the meantime and in between time? Can I tell you that Jesus didn't come and give his life and be resurrected so that you could one day die and go to heaven? He did that. Yes, theologically, he did that. But he didn't do it so that every day of your life you would live and live in hell. Does that make sense? So Paul is teaching a young church, and he's going through this process called resocialization. I have to teach you how to live again. And he spends five chapters just reinforcing, and he's going through the lordship of Jesus. He's going through what happens when you die. He's going through what you do as a church. He's going through personal convictions. And then he sums it all up in verse 24 of the fifth chapter. And the Message version says it this way. Now, may God himself... Verse 23, I'm sorry, team, thank you so much. Verse 23, may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, and I wish I had 2 hours to preach, I don't, but can I tell you that God's priority is not just to make you holy. He does make you holy, but he doesn't leave you incomplete. He makes you holy and whole. He wants your life holy and whole. May the God who makes everything holy and whole make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. And it's okay to say amen to the word. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Amen. If he said it, he'll do it. You know, you have so much potential. So much potential. I remember being a little guy and thinking about when people would talk to me and say, Cruz, you have potential. You know, Elevate Life has so much potential. You have so much potential. The person next to you has so much potential. And you have to ask the question, you know, hold, let me push pause. That makes you feel good, right? When someone says, hey, you got potential. You got potential. I'm going to hurt your feelings in about 4 minutes. I'm just letting you know that was a setup. What is potential? Potential is something that exists in possibility, and it's capable of being developed into reality. It's something that exists in possibility, and it's capable of being developed into reality, aka what could be. What could be? My definition is this. It's the span of my life where I'm not necessarily doing it yet, but I have an option to do it, have an opinion about it, or have a preference. In my life, all my potential can be summed up to all my options, my opinions, and my preferences. Man, I could be doing that. I should be doing that. I want to do that. It exists in possibility, and I could develop it into reality. When I was younger, and I would have someone talk over me and speak over my life, say, Cruz, man, young man, you have so much potential. I would take that as a compliment. Man, what a compliment. And, you know, in my mind, I think the Lord has delivered me from arrogance a little bit. But in my mind, when I was younger and someone said, Cruz, you have so much potential, I would, inside of me, I would be like, finally, someone else recognizes my greatness. I was like, you better recognize. Tell him, you know, mention me on Twitter. Finally, someone recognizes everything I could be, everything I could do, everything I could become. But as I got older and I took a couple of physics classes, anyone take a physics class at some point? You learn the classic definition of what potential is. Physics says that potential is ability or energy that is stored up in a body to do work, but it's not used. It's stored up and it's there, but it's not activated. It's stored up, it's present, but it's not purposeful. And when that hit my life, the more I unpacked it, the more I understood it, the more I processed, and the more it went from a compliment to a contradictory statement. Right? It used to be, look at all I could be, and it's become, look at all I should be doing. Look at all these missed opportunities. And a statement that used to bring a sense of I feel good about myself, if I'm being honest with you this morning, has turned into, oh my goodness, I'm running out of time. Look at all of the things I should be doing. Do I have any people in the room with some potential? And that potential keeps you a little bit worried. It's gone from it's a good thing to it's a little bit of pressure. Keep it a buck with me this morning. When I was a teenager, I was like, man, I'm going to beat everything. You know, I have two daughters. I have an 11-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old daughter. And we're still in that phase where they think about all their potential and they think they can do it all. I'm going to be an astronaut and a princess, and a figure skater, and a brain surgeon. And it's like, bless your heart, baby. I'm like, please just be a good person. Right? But what is all this awareness? See, like, you're laughing and you're with me right now because you're aware of all your potential, all the things you could be doing, you should be doing, you would be doing. And we all live with the woulda, coulda, shouldas, don't we? All of us. And if we're honest with ourselves this morning, potential is not necessarily the best driver of our life. If I'm keeping it all the way transparent with us, this awareness of my potential created in me energy that was going in the wrong direction. If you're anything like me, you've got so much potential became a statement that conjured up self-consciousness and insecurity. The insecurity of all my woulda, coulda, shouldas. And in my places where I'm not all the way healthy, is it okay for one of the pastors to be saying, man, I'm not all the way healthy. I'm working things out in my life. You know, the Apostle Paul said it this way. Look, I haven't apprehended everything I'm telling you to apprehend, but I do this one thing. I forget what's behind me, and I look ahead, and I press toward the mark. Right? So I haven't figured this out, but I'm trying. And if I'm honest with you, the thought of all the woulda, coulda, shouldas in my life has gone and turned into, if I let it, it turns into anxious energy, anxious urgency. You know what I'm talking about? That sense, like, does that happen in NorCal? Like, where you live with this sense of, I should be doing something, but I'm not sure what it is. Like, I'm so busy, but I don't know what I'm accomplishing. What did I do today? Anxious urgency. Or if it's not anxious urgency, right? So anxious urgency is like busy. I just got to do everything. And we know those people. They're in the second service. Where they're always doing something new, and there's this anxious urgency to start something, to feel like I'm doing something with my life. And for some of us, it's new relationships. For some of us, it's new jobs, new projects, new fads, new diets, new Instagram handles, whatever it is. We're just jumping from thing to thing, trying to sedate and bring solace to this sense of I'm not doing enough. Because that's what potential is, isn't it? It's a reminder of I'm not doing everything I should, I could, or I would be doing. Maybe you're not the type, and maybe your proprietary blend of potential and the pressure of potential is not an anxious urgency. Maybe it's a passive indecisiveness where you just can't make up your mind. Here's what I'm talking about. This will make sense to you. Have you ever had like a quiet Saturday morning, like late morning, you got to wake up, the kids aren't at, like kids aren't like with you this weekend or something, like you dropped them off with Nana and Papa or whatever it is, whatever your context is, and you say, man, I'm gonna watch something today. I got 3.5 hours before I gotta be somewhere. And you look up and it's 3.5 hours. And what did you watch? You spent that whole time scrolling. You know what I'm talking about. Just, man, I could watch that. I could watch that. I could watch that. That's such a perfect snapshot of the pressure potential. And I just couldn't commit to, I couldn't commit to one show because I don't know if I'm gonna like it more than this other show I haven't seen either. And what I don't do anything. Passive indecisiveness, you know, if you're anything like me, my type of blend, it turns into grind and hustle, a toxic work-life rhythm where it's all about productivity and not about health and balance. In society, it becomes these frenzied grabs at status, at the image of success, at the image of significance. I want to look like I got it together. Does that make sense to you? And if we're looking at this completely objectively, our lives can be consumed by our efforts to live to our fullest potential. The irony is, in trying to live to the fullest of my potential, is that every single one of us in this room today know deep down in our soul and in our spirit that no matter how much potential we fulfill and no matter how much we get done, there's always more to do. There's always more to do. And can I tell you that the truth is you're not going to live to the fullest of your potential. You're like, Cruz, please resolve the tension already. Give me the good news. Here's the good news. You're not going to live to your potential. You're just not going to. You know, the truth is, our frustration literally is that I want to do everything. I want to do all things, Cruz. I can do all things. I want to explore all the options. Cruz, you're telling me that the Bible doesn't say I could do, and we'll misquote the Bible in a pursuit of our own whims. And stubbornness, and we'll quote, it's like, oh, now you know the Bible. No, but we'll pursue it, right? And we'll be like, Philippians 4:13, I got it tattooed on my back. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I tell you, that's not what that's for. Paul was not inspired by the Holy Spirit. You're so kind to me. What a servant's heart. It's because I'm sweating now. It's not because I'm crying. It's because I'm... Thank you. Paul was not inspired by the Holy Spirit to write to the Philippian church, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, for the benefit of our whims and preferences. See, let me give you some good Bible reading advice. I know you're doing ARMA. Manny's a genius. That's awesome. There's leaders in this church doing ARMA. That's awesome. But this will help all of us. When you're reading a text, you have to read it in context. We can't just pick one verse and build a doctrine around it. It doesn't hold up like that. So as you're reading the Word of God and you see the Apostle Paul say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you have to ask the question, what are the all things he's talking about? What's the all things he's referencing? Because he's talking about something that he's referencing. So if you back that thing up to like verse 6 and start there, Paul's actually saying, look, I know the secret. I've lived abased, that means to have nothing. And I've lived in abundance, that means I have everything supplied for. And what he's saying is, I can live both with nothing and I can live with everything. And the secret of this is contentment. And my contentment comes from the understanding that I can do all things. What? What are the all things? Have it all or not have it at all? Either way, I need Christ to be my strength. But some of us... Let me teach this to you. Some of us know what it's like to be in a, not a basement, but a basement where I don't have enough. I don't know how to make these ends meet. I don't know how the bills are going to get paid. I don't know how we're going to put food on the table. And if I don't have Jesus, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my hope. I'm going to lose my life if I don't have Jesus. And some of us are walking through that season right now. Well, can I tell you, baby, if you're walking through that season, I've walked through that season. I've been homeless. I've been in a shelter. I've been hungry. I've been literally one change of clothes. I've been in a bed. Diana actually got to see that house where I can see the stars. I had a convertible house. What I mean is we had holes in the roof is what I'm talking about. That's a true story. That is a true story. And I'll tell you, we didn't have it all, but we had Jesus. And in that, Jesus supplied not all my wants, he supplied all my needs. And when I look back at that season of my life, I say, man, had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, what would have become of my life? I need Jesus when I don't have anything. All I have is him. All I have is a dream, a hope, a vision, but nothing else to prove it. Jesus, I'm holding on to. You are sufficient. You are enough. No one owes me anything. Jesus gave me everything. Everything I have is everything I need. I know I'm playing cliche bingo, but these are truths and declarations that will anchor your soul and keep you from losing your mind. Psalm 119 says, great peace have they who love your law. The word law literally means the words that come out of your mouth. And nothing will cause them to stumble. When I don't have enough, I need Jesus. But I also know the other side. Now look, there's an old hip-hop line. I'm not going to quote the song, but I am in South Sac. I feel like every time I preach here, I quote hip-hop. And there was, man, I'm about to date myself. Y'all have no idea. Some of y'all may have no idea. There's a guy named Peter Guns who did a song called Uptown. Oh, y'all know it? We're not all the way saved. That's bad theology. If you're saved, you're all the way saved. He does it in redemption. He's still working on my regeneration, though. Like, let's just, he's working things out of me. And he said, I'm not filthy rich, but I'm barely broke. And I'm not saying we got it all together, but I'm saying that the Lord has blessed my home. But I realize this, that if I don't have Jesus as the source of my supply and the source of my enoughness, I can get weird when I have everything I've ever wanted. If you've ever had, if you've been around people who have seven figures in front of the decimal point, I pastor people like that, and they're in my office on a regular basis, and they're like, Pastor, what do you do when you get everything you wanted and realize you're still unfulfilled, and realize you still can't sleep at night, and realize you're still not happy, and you're still not at peace, and all I got is stuff? I'll say, man, what you need to remember is that before you had it all, Jesus was it all. And so whether I have nothing or have everything, Jesus should always be the one who strengthens me through it. So I can do all things through Christ isn't so that you can be like my 8-year-old and say, I'm going to be a princess and an entrepreneur. And I'm also, you know what I'm saying? See, here's my thought. Is if you actually get to fulfill all your potential, you'll actually be better than Jesus. Think of all the potential that the Son of God, the incarnate Word, the Word made flesh, fully God, fully man, think of the potential he had. If you read John 18, like you gotta read the Bible. I was just reading the book of John, and I'm good, sis. Look, I'm good. Hey, get me a towel, but next service. Find me a towel. It'll work much better. This is awesome. What a heart in your servant leaders. It's beautiful. Hear me. Hear me. Think of the potential. The scripture says that a garrison of Roman soldiers went to go arrest Jesus. Do you know how many soldiers are in a garrison? 831. My first question, you got to ask the Bible questions. Why would 800 men need to go arrest one man? Who was this Jesus? And the Bible says that he dropped them all with one word. Dropped them. The man had potential. But the scripture says in Philippians that let this mind be in you that was in Christ, although being formed in God, thought not robbery to be equal to God, and came and humbled himself and came in the form of a servant and was obedient, even obedient to the death of the cross, whereby the Father has given him a name which is above every other name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, things in earth, things below the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Cruz, what are you saying here? What I'm saying here is that Jesus had potential, but he didn't fulfill potential. What did Jesus do? Go with me to John 18. It's already up on the screen, man. The team's awesome. You guys are crushing it. Now I got to move quick, Sky. Come make me sound spiritual. One of y'all, come make me sound spiritual. You happy you came today? Okay. Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate asks him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you're right, you rightly say that I'm a king. Watch. But he says, but for this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Think of all the potential that the Son of God had. Let's just talk basic potential. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, says of Jesus that he did not know his generation. In the original language, in the Aramaic, what Isaiah is saying is that he knew that he would have the capacity to have children and be a father, but he was not a father. Can you imagine being a 28-year-old and saying, "But because you realize that Jesus was in all points touched, according to the book of Hebrews. You realize that we have a high priest. Your Jesus knows what it's like to be human. Today he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. The only way he can pray for you is if he knows what it's like to be you and me. So he had to experience it all. Watch. You think he didn't like a girl? I know that's borderline almost heresy, but either he felt it all or he didn't. He had the potential to be a husband. He had the potential to be a father. But he said, for this one cause I came. Do you see this thing emerging in what he's saying? I came for this one thing. I came for this. I know I could be doing all these other things, but I came for this one thing and this one thing alone. For this one cause I was born for this. And can I tell you, Mark Twain said it this way. He said the greatest day in the two greatest days in a person's life is the day they're born and the day they find out what they were born to do. Can I tell you that in the body of Christ, we were all born again to do this one thing. This one thing. And Jesus maps it out for us. I'm here to bear witness to the truth. I want you to write this down. I'm going to give it to you in point form. I was not created to live to the fullness and the fulfillment of my potential, but to the fullest of my Creator's purpose. See, we all have so much potential, but I believe this, that in the body of Christ, we have one purpose and one purpose alone. What Jesus said, I have come to bear witness of the truth. And today you might be grumbling and complaining about the job you have because it doesn't match up to the potential you think you carry. But what would happen if tomorrow morning you showed up on that job and you said, although this job does not fully represent all my potential, it is still in line with my purpose. My purpose is that while I'm on this job and while I'm navigating through here, and this job is not my home, I'm just merely passing through. But while I'm here, I'm going to bear witness to the truth. And so I'm not going to be a part of the problem. I'm going to be a solution to the situation in this office. I'm going to be a solution to the situation in this family. I'm here to bear witness to the truth of Jesus, that God came down to earth in the form of a man, and that man died on a cross and he was resurrected on the third day. And a few years ago, I put my faith in that resurrected Jesus, and the truth is I've never been the same again. And that same truth can be true for you, and he can change you, and he can love you, and he can lift you, and he can use you, and he can. What would happen if you found purpose even if it's not your potential? What would happen if you walked into that thing right now that you're asking God, change it? And God's like, do something in it. Do something. Say something. Bear witness of the truth. Watch this. You think God is going to answer? Oh, Pastor Sergio, can I preach it like if I was at home? All right, here we go. Abundant Church by Elevate Life Church. Here we go. All right. I talk to our church family like this, so here we go. I love you. You think God's going to answer all of the prayers that you're praying right now about the business, about the job, about the money, about the success, about the overcoming, about the I win happily ever after story, just so you can say, I did it? Now, don't hear me wrong. I believe he wants to say yes, and he already has, to the open doors in your life, to the overwhelming success. Pastor, how do you know? I know because the book of Matthew chapter 6, 14 through 16 says you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, so therefore let your good light shine before men. Watch. But it's not about your light shining before men. It's about the B clause of that verse. So let your good work shine before men. God wants your life to be a good work. He wants the success. He wants the moving forward. He wants the overcoming. He wants the level up. He wants the increase. He wants the story to be a great story. But not so that your light will shine alone, but so that on the other side of the comma, watch. So let therefore your light shine before men, and they'll see your good work, comma, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, that's the big idea. Whatever you set your hand to do today will prosper, yes, to my benefit, but to the glory of Jesus. And what would happen? What would happen if you walked into every space of your life and you said, look, I don't care about potential anymore. I'm driven by purpose. And success is inevitable to people who walk according to purpose. Why? Because God wants to be glorified. His nature is glorification. His nature is to be revealed to all of humanity. He does that through me and you. He's a revealing God. He wants to be revealed. But if we minimize the story of overcoming and accomplishing potential just so I can selfie it? You feel what I'm saying? You're here not to live to the fullest of your potential, but to live to the fullest of His purpose. The word purpose simply means the thing for which I was created. You were created to give God glory. Can I remind us? Man, I hope you still love me. It really doesn't matter. I think you're going to love Jesus more whether or not you like me. Can I remind us today that the God of heaven doesn't exist for me? He doesn't exist. He's not my fairy godfather. He's not a genie. Family, on the contrary, I exist for Him. My life exists for Him. Everything I do exists for Him. And although I may be living with the pressure of unfulfilled potential, I can live with the pleasure of walking in purpose. Isn't that beautiful? So I'm going to give you one. I have 3 points to end the message, but I'm going to give the other two to the next service. I'm going to give you 1 point. So coming back to what Paul teaches the Thessalonian church, because this is essentially what he's teaching his young church in Thessalonica to live, because they're being pulled by so many different areas that are trying to define them and dictate their life. And I don't have time to break all of it down. But Paul comes in and says, listen, stop trying to please everybody. And stop trying to please you. The God who made you holy and whole, who makes all things holy and whole, wants to make you holy and whole. And if I'm going to live my life to the fullness of His purpose, it begins with the statement that Paul begins with in verse 23 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. May God. See, when you read it in original language, he's not making a declaration. He's proposing something. He's giving you a proposition. So correctly translated, this would be proposed as a question. Cruz, you want to live to the fullest of your purpose? May God. May God. May God step in and create the definition. May God. And I've sensed the voice of the Holy Spirit essentially coming next to all of us and saying, hey, may I? And you've heard it many times if you've been around church world and church life that he's a gentleman. He doesn't kick down doors and he doesn't force you to do things. He gives you the option. May I? May God? May God use you where you are today? See, those are the hard questions, right? Because we're asking God, I need you to change everything. And the Lord's look, will you trust me and may I do what only I can do where you are today? My response to that question, may I, makes all the difference in the world. Because if the power of the supernatural is going to work in your life and in my life, it requires my consent. You know this, but I'm going to remind you of it. There are 3 powers at work in the earth. The power of heaven, the power of good, the power of God, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of evil, the power of Satan, and the power of human will. And if heaven is going to be made manifest on earth, it begins with the power of God, but requires human consent. And if evil is going to work in the earth, it begins with satanic influence, but it requires human consent. And God is asking you, may I? But you know what? Satan is also asking, may I? Let me remind you that the book of James says it this way, that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Not who he can devour, whom he may devour. And if we look at our lives objectively, whether it's the work of God or the work of hell, they're all rooted in the same response. Yes, you may. Yes, you may. Yes, you may. And I pray that your response to the Lord is, Lord, yes, you may. Stand to your feet with me. I got to land the plane. Here's the one point. Ready? One point. If I'm going to live to the fullest, living to the fullest begins with a generous soul. Living to the fullest begins with a generous soul. See, that's what generosity is about. Generosity is not about a budget or dollars and cents. Hear me, please hear me. Hear me. Generosity is about a spirit and a human will saying, Lord, yes, you may use me for the use of your kingdom, for the building of your kingdom. You know, this week, this coming week, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to come next to you right where you are. He's going to make you uncomfortable. And he's going to say, may I use you to minister healing to the person in the office next to you? May I use you to bring healing into your father's life? Because I need you to call him and tell him you love him and forgive him. You see what I'm saying? And the question becomes whether or not I'll say, yes, you may. You know, we're doing a capital campaign and we're doing a heart for the house. I love that we're buying seeds. Here's the challenge for you and I. The Lord is saying, may I use you to make room for someone that you may never meet? May I use you? May I use what I've given you to make room for people? Or when people come to my house for the first time, for them to be comfortable and to make more room, may I use you? And a generous soul says, Lord, yes, you may. See, that's what generosity is about. Generosity always begins with our soul, not with our money. See, the scripture says he loves a, what kind of giver? Cheer doesn't exist in your bank account. Cheer exists in your soul. And look what Proverbs says. One last time, we got to go. Proverbs says, the generous, Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich. Not the generous bank account. Although a generous bank account is always going to follow a generous soul will be made rich. If you're going to live to the fullest, it begins with having a yes, you may. That's what generosity sounds like. Lord, yes, you may. You want to use me to welcome people at church? Yes, you may. You want to use me to bless the babies at church? Yes, you may. A generous soul sounds like yes, you may. It sounds like let's go. We're going to make more room for people. Let's go. We're going to reach more people in South Sacramento. Let's go. I can partner with that? Are you kidding me? Like, instead of going out to eat the next four weekends, you know what we're going to do? We're going to say, let's go, man. Let's make room for people. Do you see where that begins? Look, and it's not, again, it's not about the money. It's about the purpose. May God, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray for our church today. I pray for a sense of peace for all of us who've been wrestling with potential. And in a moment of clarity by your word, Lord, I thank you that right now you're able to do what only you can do, that your spirit brings clarity. Let us see the purpose in our lives, which is to bring you glory. And Father, I pray for a bold response in all of your children, that when your spirit asks, may I, that we have a generous soul and that we say, yes, you may. Yes, you may. Lord, yes, you may. Yes, you may use me to be a blessing to my family. Yes, you may use me to be a better husband. Yes, you may use me to be a loving wife. Yes, you may use me to be an exemplary father. Yes, you may. And I thank you that it will be said of the men and women of Elevate Life Church that we are men and women who walk according to purpose, and we see the purpose of God made yes and amen in our lives, in Jesus' name. And if you receive that today and you believe that for your life, come on, give God a praise in this house. Amen.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.